Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Sit this out. I search
the world, but it couldn't fill me. Treasures that fade are never enough. You came along, put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's no
out. I'm not afraid. Come on.
I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God.
We're going to continue in worship as we kind of learn the song that we learned last week, Hymn of Heaven. It's just a great song of praise. Let's sing this out together.
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear. But in the end, we see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before him. Stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
And on that day,
and on that day, we join the resurrection. Stand beside the heroes of the faith, with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall reign. So let it be today. Shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise the mighty roar. Glory to our God who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. So let it be today. We shout the hymn of heaven. Billows roll.
Father God, just listening to the sound of our awesome trumpets in the room, giving a blast as we sing those words, the trump will sound. Lord, we know the scripture says that. We can't imagine what the heavenly trump will sound like. The heavenly trumpet, Father, to know that that day could be soon. Father, my prayer is that if when we sing those words, so let it be today, we shout the hymn of heaven, that the reality is, if it's not going to be today, then please don't let us waste today. If it's not going to be tomorrow, please don't let us waste tomorrow. Let us live every day until Jesus returns or we go home to be with you, living out the gospel that you've called us to, giving you the glory you deserve, and helping others see that it is well with our souls for those that know you. Oh God, thank you. Would you speak to us now as we open your word? In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated if you will. If you have your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 50. We continue with Bedtime Bible Stories Revisited. Just as a reminder, if you're new with us today, we are in the middle of a series where we're taking stories that were taught to us as children in Sunday school, or maybe that our parents would read to us at bedtime. Some of what we would consider to be the simplest stories of faith from the Bible. But somehow over time, because it was simple in story, we have sort of thought of it as simple-minded. When it's not simple-minded, there is such a lesson here for all of us. So we're revisiting some of those stories. Last week, we looked at the life of Joseph, the dreamer, Joseph and his multicolored coat. And we are going to take now and talk a little bit about him again and bridge to our next story next week, which will be of Moses. And so we're going to take some time today to see what happened between the two, how they're connected, and what we can learn from them. Last week, the lesson we learned was this: you will either strengthen, weaken, or change your family legacy. Let me say this again. You will either strengthen, weaken, or change your family legacy. It does not say you might. It does not say you can. You will. You have been living your life as part of a family line. There is a legacy at stake and at work in your life. What you do with your life now is going to strengthen that. It is going to weaken it, or it can change it if it needs to be changed. It will happen. So what will it be for you? So the way we strengthen and change our legacy is this: take the next right and wise step in front of you. I've talked to several people this week who did just that. They took the next right and wise step in a certain decision they needed to make, and God has already honored that. I would encourage you to do that. Do not overcomplicate it. There's no reason to do so. Don't even overcomplicate your prayers. I would say it this way to you: prayer is not powerful because it's complex. Right? Prayer is powerful because it's bold and it's in the will of God. You don't have to be complex in what you do. So the story of Joseph gives us this life lesson of this man, his own identity. And it's important to realize that all the places God took Joseph, the good, the bad, the difficult, the easy, the great success, the very, very hard places he was, all of those places that God took him, please understand that every single time God used him for his purposes. Why? Because Joseph was the only Joseph there was. You're the only you there is. There are. Bad English, I don't know. You're the only you. Fill in the blank. I don't know if it's you. Either way. Whatever. We're the only we are. I don't know. You're it, okay? You're you and you're special. All right. So in fact, though, unless you're me, there's two of me. How many of you this week got a special email from me asking for a gift card? Raise your hand. Come on. Listen, that was a scam. That was not me. Somebody took my picture and somebody took an address and made one up that was similar to mine. It's a scam that happens a lot of times for pastors, because it would not be unusual that we would send you an email. And so they found ways to get some addresses and sent some of you and asked you. And if you happened to reply, they asked you to send them four $500 gift cards. Now listen, if you want to send me a gift card, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. It's just around the corner. Don't mail it. Bring it in person, okay? That's all I'm going to say about that, all right? So we don't have to do it that way. The reality is that was a scam. So there's not two of me. I'm the only me. You're the only you. And what we're going to see is Joseph was the only Joseph. And God used him, and he had a plan for him. So let's look together at what we can from him. Now, I have to tell you that Joseph's story is so important that he's given 13 chapters of the Bible. That's a lot of chapters on one person's life, a lot. And so in Genesis, from Genesis 37 to Genesis 50, with one chapter in the middle of those 14 devoted to his sister, the rest of those are about the life of Joseph. There's so much to learn from him. Last week, I gave you a good summary of his life. This week, I didn't want to repeat that, but I knew we would have some people that wouldn't know Joseph's story, so I felt led to do something different. So I'm going to try something. I wrote a poem for you. So I wrote a poem to summarize Joseph's life. Now, if you're thinking, oh, I love poetry, listen, don't overexpect, okay? It's not much of one. But here it is. This is my poem to summarize his life. Jacob schemed and took four wives. Joseph dreamed and risked his life. His brothers burned in anger acted. They almost murdered. Instead, they cashed in. The coat was ruined. His father wrecked. The bros lived their lives with no regret. To Potiphar, Joseph was sold. The Lord was with him, and the ranks he rose. Potiphar's wife became obsessed, but Joseph, he was no cheater. So she kept on trying and wouldn't quit, so Joseph had to flee her. Unfortunately, he lost his cloak, and she told a sordid tale. Potiphar believed because he was deceived, and poor Joseph, he went to jail. Again, the Lord was with him. He rose in ranks in prison. The butler and the baker had dreams no one understood, but Joseph had the answers, and it worked out for his good. Sometime later, Pharaoh dreamed, and Joseph was brought in. He saved the day for Pharaoh, and he rose in ranks again. Now, the second in charge of all the land, a famine came. It was God's plan. Joseph was the man in charge. His dad and his brothers almost starved. They begged for help, not knowing him. He saved their lives. He forgave his kin. In ups and downs and all of life, just know the Lord is with you. Offer grace, walk in truth, and watch God work within you. The end. That was a sympathy clap. I know when I hear it. So it's the best poem I could give you. So take some time this week, though, to read Genesis 37 through 50 and get the full story of what that poem was talking about and what it says. But as for today, Genesis chapter 50, and I want you to look beginning at verse 22. So we're going to read verse 22 of Genesis 50, then skip verse 23 and go right to 24 for time's sake. So Genesis 50, 22, it says this. So Joseph, at the end of this story, Joseph remained in Egypt, he and his father's house. Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, our father. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now, if you were to turn the page in your Bible to the book of Exodus, or in your tablet or your app, whatever the case may be, and look at Exodus chapter 1, the story continues in verse 6. It says this, then Joseph died, and all his brothers died, and all that generation. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. Now look at verse 8. It's a scary verse. It says, now there arose a new king, a new Pharaoh over Egypt who did not know Joseph. So Joseph lives 110 years. And no offense to anybody in this room, but I'll look around this room and I'd be willing to bet no one in this room is going to make it to 110. The reality is you and I at some point will breathe our last breath on this earth if the Lord doesn't return first. We're probably not going to make it to 110. But Joseph in 110 years fulfilled so much of what God had for his purposes. And you and I can learn to do the same. You might do it with 80 years, with 90 years, with 50 years. Whatever the case may be, we, if we're still alive and breathing today, God's got a plan and a purpose for you. And we want to look at that and see how it applies to this transition from Joseph to something else that we're going to talk about. So the Israelites started with Joseph in Egypt. There were 71 of them. That's all. 71 Israelites at the time and his family. But before the next few generations had been completed, there were several hundred thousand Israelites living in Egypt. So the Pharaoh did not know the stories of Joseph anymore. No one was telling him that he had saved Israel and saved Egypt and the entire known world. So all they knew is there were hundreds of thousands of Israelites, foreigners living among them. They didn't know what to do with them. So they enslaved them and they began to treat them like slaves. And it was a horrible situation. So really we go from one bedtime Bible story about Joseph, and then the bridge happens all the way over to the other bedtime Bible story about Moses and how he brought the Israelites out of bondage. And we'll cover that one next week. So let's spend the next few moments in this bridge, this arc, what happens between the two stories. And what's interesting is that one of the main lessons we can learn today is this. You and I, we are one generation away from people not knowing Jesus. That may be hard to believe, but it's true. We are one generation away from people not knowing Jesus. Now you say, Chris, that's not possible. We live in the Bible Belt. I've told you this before. I want to say it again. I want to argue that we're not so much the Bible Belt. We're the church belt. There's a lot of churches, but there's not always a lot of Bible. And the reality is we want to be the Bible Belt again. But the truth is there are many people, thousands in Albertville. Some hundreds might pass by outside this window before our service is over. But there are thousands in Albertville not connected to a church of any kind, many of which don't know the true understanding of who Jesus is and what he's done for them. And listen, if someone doesn't tell them, sure enough, by the next generation, people just won't know. It carries on. You and I have a part to play in helping the next generation. We must live the gospel and share it with the next generation. You and I are plan A, as you've heard someone say before. There is no plan B for God. We are plan A to deliver his message to others, and we are called to. So, how and where are we to live out the gospel? Well, it's going to be different for each and every one of us. We tend to think that it's always onward and upward. The more we love God, the more we'll go on, the more we'll go up. And the truth is, sometimes God mixes the circumstances all up so we can be his purpose, his man or woman on the scene for his purpose in multiple places. And so I want you to think about that for a moment. And the best way to do that is to tie this story in through the New Testament. So we've looked at the end of Genesis. We've looked at the beginning of Exodus. But if you'll take your Bible now and move all the way to the New Testament, towards the end of your Bible, to the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to see Joseph and Moses again. So move to Hebrews 11, if you will. And I want to remind you in the song that we sang earlier that says that there will be a day of resurrection when we will worship with the heroes of the faith. Well, the heroes of the faith, you may say, well, who all is counted as heroes of the faith? I don't know who all of them are, but I know who some of them are because Hebrews chapter 11 gives us a list of heroes of the faith. So look at what it says about Joseph and Moses in Hebrews 11, verse 22. It says, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. So in other words, what we read earlier in Genesis 50, where Joseph made his brothers promise that before the Israelites left Egypt, they would carry his body with him so it could be buried in the promised land. And so Joseph knew that Egypt was not the end result for the Israelites. He knew it was just a detour. Now look at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So don't miss this. What Hebrews tells us very succinctly is we get this incredible contrast between Joseph's story and Moses' story. They're both stories we learn as children. They're both stories that have great significance for us today, but they're opposite in so many ways, but they go linked together in such powerful ways. Let's look at some of those. Let me tell you this. Joseph began in the land of Canaan, and he ended up in the land of Egypt, and he saved Israel. Moses began in the land of Egypt, and he ended up in the land of Canaan, or just outside it, and he saved Israel. Joseph started as a shepherd, and he ended up in Pharaoh's palace, and he saved Israel. Moses started off as a baby in Pharaoh's palace, and he ended up as a shepherd, and he too saved Israel. Do you understand that God can take any circumstance and any place and use you and me for his glory? God had to elevate Joseph to the palace to fulfill his purpose, and God had to remove Moses from the palace to fulfill his purpose. Now, that's worth saying again. Don't miss this. God had to elevate Joseph to the palace to fulfill his ultimate purpose. And God had to remove Moses from the palace to fulfill his ultimate purpose. So what about you? And what about me? We can become worried about what's our next position in life. Are we moving forward? Are we going up and on and all those things? When the reality is we should stop worrying about our position and focus more on God's purpose for us. It's important that we stop wishing for someone else's prosperity and focus on God's purpose for us. You are the only you that God ever made. I'm the only me that God ever made. It is tempting. It is so tempting to see the gifts of others and be jealous. It is tempting to see the blessing of others and be a little bit envious. You're happy for them, but a little bit envious. Listen, I got to tell you, this happens in the church world a lot too. It really does. I don't want you to think that pastors and leaders are immune to this. In fact, it's a hard thing for them a lot of times when you see God blessing another church and, I mean, just moving in a big way, and you think, well, why is that not happening here? I'm happy for them, but why not here? I had to learn many years ago an important lesson, and that's one that I would encourage you to write down, and that is this: someone else's success is not your failure. And say it again, somebody else's success is not your failure. It's not. Someone else's success is their success. It doesn't mean just because you don't have the same things they do or the same ministry scope they do or the same life they do or the same Facebook feed that they do that somehow you're failing. The reality is that God is sovereign and he puts us where he wants us for his good pleasure and for his glory. I would say it this way: God is all knowing, God is all powerful, God is all present, and he has all authority. The church words we would use to describe those four things is he is omniscient, he is omnipotent, he is omnipresent, and he is sovereign. God is all of those things. So don't you believe that he has you right where he wants you? We have to discover God's purpose for your circumstance today. Now, he may want you to move on to something else. He may be moving you someplace else, but don't miss that he wants to use you right where you are today. It might be the palace, it might be the pit, it might be the prison, I don't know, but he will use you where you are. God used his man in Egypt, God used his man in the desert, God used his man in the promised land, and he can use you right where you are. Now, if you think about, I want to be better, that's okay, but please understand that in God's movement and timing of this world and how he moves in our lives, these very people who were used by God started off in an area that we would know as Canaan. They ended up in an area that we know as Egypt. They went and spent 40 years in a desert in between that shouldn't have taken very long to get there. And they end up in the promised land where so much that we see of the rest of the scripture takes place and the inhabitants and all the things that happened there. And so all of those places, when were they used of God? All of them. Here, there, on the way, every single place. And so what I would want to remind you of today is that God's purpose for you is not just a destination. God is not just hoping you'll get somewhere next week. God is at work in your life in every step of the journey so that you can be his man or woman on the scene. He will use you for his purposes. It's okay to want to be better. It's okay to want to move up. Just don't confuse the prosperity of God with the prosperity of man. If you do, I promise you'll want your own purposes over his divine purpose, and that will not end well. We each have an opportunity. If we will seek to be where God's planted us and bloom where we're planted, so to speak, you too can save Israel. Now, I realize that's symbolic, but just like Joseph saved Israel symbolically, you can save Israel, God's people, and help them move forward to carry on for others to come to know him. Just like Moses saved Israel, you too, symbolically, me, we can help see the kingdom of God advance and move forward. That's what he's called us to do. So how do we do it? Well, there's four questions we need to ask, and I want to give you those questions really quickly. The questions are simple questions, and if you'll ask these questions and take what we see in this story of Hebrews and this story of Genesis and apply it to your life, you can move forward. Here's the questions: who, where, what, and how. So let's look at these quickly. Who is in your circumstance with you? Who are you called to influence and minister to? Who is in your family. There's a who in your life right now. You're not living your life in isolation alone. If you're in this room, you're surely not. If you're participating online, you might be a little more isolated, but there's someone in your sphere and circle of influence. So who has God put there? Your family is there for a reason. It's God's divine purpose that you have the family you have. So how is it that you are going to get to minister to them? Who is it? They're there. And then also this, realize that for you and for me, maybe it's the person you work next to, maybe it's the people you are near, maybe it's the people you associate with. It can be good, bad, or indifferent, but there are people in your life that God wants you to enact his purposes in front of them and with them. And so don't give up on that one you've been praying for. If you've got a difficult person in your family or extended family, or a difficult person in your work situation or in your friendship or in your neighborhood, I would say this: we must be reminded God has us where we are for his purpose and his reason. We were called to help make a difference. We need to do it. If God is sovereign, he didn't make a mistake. Let's pray and ask who is involved in our lives. The second question is where? Where are you currently planted in your life? Maybe you're in a pit. Maybe it's the palace. Maybe it's the prison. Maybe it's your work environment. Maybe it's your neighborhood. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's a health situation you're going through. I'm not saying it's where God's going to have you ultimately be, but it's where you are today. So where are you, and how can you be used of God today, even while you're on your journey? Think through the where. So who and where and what? And then this is important. You have to understand what God is doing in your life. What is your gifting? What is your passion? What are your abilities? What is your life experience? And what is your calling? In other words, how has God wired you, and how have you been anointed? If you are in this room, or if you're participating online or listening on the radio, if you know Jesus, you have at least one supernatural ability in your life. It's given to you by the Holy Spirit. The scripture is pretty clear that we as believers have gifts of the Spirit. And so you have at least one, if not more. I personally have a conviction that just because you were saved at the age of 8 and you have this spiritual gift does not mean that's your spiritual gift the rest of your life. I don't see anything in scripture that would teach that that is the case. I think that God, because he is sovereign and at work in our lives multiple steps of the way, your gift may be the gift forever. It may be a gift for this season, and he gives you a different gift at another time depending on where you are and what you need. He's at work in your life. And so you have at least one supernatural gift if you know Jesus. So my question is, do you know what that is? If you don't know what it is, begin to ask God to help you see how he is supernaturally, through the power of the Holy Spirit, helping you to give him glory and lead others to him. And then figure that out so you can develop it a little more. Secondly, you've got passions. What do you wake up in the night thinking about? What do you go to sleep at night thinking about, that you're passionate about, that you want to be a part of, that you want to help with? You have a passion that tells you part of where God is using you for his purposes. And then realize that you also have abilities. There's certain things you can do that I can't do. There might be some things I can do that you can't do. And all across this room, the same. We have actual physical abilities that maybe don't cross over to everyone. So God's got you right where he wants you. Then there's your personality. Listen, God's given you a unique personality. Now, let me be clear. Do not use the excuse of saying, well, God gave me this personality, so that's why I've got such a short fuse. That's why I'm always angry. That's why I'm a little bit rude or rough around the edges. Listen, God has uniquely given you a personality, but he wants you to be redeemed in that personality. So it's important that we learn to be more like him with that personality and begin to grow. But he's given you one. And then there's your life experiences. It's where what you've been through. Listen, some of the things that you have gone through, you have to come to the realization that God would love for you to sit down at a table across the room with someone who is experiencing on the front end something very similar, and you to be able to say, I have been here. God has walked with me through this journey. Can I help you see the next step? Listen, that's what God does in our lives. And he will do that in your life and mine. He will use your experiences. You may say, but Chris, my experience was hurtful. Why in the world would God want to use that? Missionary Steve Saint said this, and it's a pretty powerful thought. It was simple, though. He says, God never wastes a hurt. God doesn't waste a hurt. Didn't say God caused the hurt, but God doesn't waste a hurt. So where you've been hurt, how can God use you to make a difference in somebody else's life? now and the purpose and the pleasure of His and what He's up to and what He's doing. So stop and figure out really where you are in life and then what you have to offer, who you're around. So you have a lot to offer. Now don't think for a moment, well, I don't have much to offer, Chris. I can't do what you do. Listen, I can't do what you do. This is not the place. This sounds like one of those ploys where everybody, the pastor would now say, now we need a dozen more workers in the children's ministry, so everybody needs to sign up to go work with kids. Listen, a whole lot of you are already working with our children. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. We have 180 different people who volunteer with children at some point over an 8-week period from Wednesdays to Sundays. That's amazing. We're so thankful. We want to invest in them and continue to do so. But maybe, just maybe, children are not something that you are very comfortable around. In fact, maybe they make you nervous. I say this in our Next Steps class, that you find your gifting. If you're gifted to teach, it doesn't mean you necessarily should teach children. You may need to teach adults. If you volunteer in the children's ministry for a week and when it's over, you've got to go home and take a pill. You know what I'm talking about? Listen, Pam would give you an excuse and say, you don't have to do that. We'll find a different place for you to serve. It's quite understandable. So you find what works for you. And the reality is, God's already wired you for a place of service. And this isn't just about serving in the church. I'm talking about your life out in the world. So you have been placed by the sovereign creator God, the omnipotent, omniscient, sovereign God, knows where you are right now. Now, He knows where He's taking you. He knows where the journey is going to end. But for now, He knows today how you can be His man or woman on the scene. So who, where, what, and then lastly, how. How can I impact the kingdom of God? Now, when I think, as we wrap things up, when I think about Joseph and what we read in Genesis 50, what we read in Exodus 1, and what we see in Hebrews 11, I want you to understand that when Joseph and Moses, and we'll learn about him next week, when they both made it to the heroes of the faith, the Faith Hall of Fame, and Hebrews 11, as many people will call it, the reality is the Bible is complete. It's whole, it's true, it's wonderful. But if I understand God as I seem to from the scripture and what we learn, in what we learn from the New Testament especially, we see that He is still continuing to take an account. It may not be the Bible in the sense that He's not going to give us another book that we will have. But the reality is, it seems to me as if He is definitely keeping an account and writing down. So just maybe there's another list of heroes of the faith, those that will be part of that. And I want to be honest with you. My hope and my prayer is that your name is found there. My hope and prayer is that my name can be found there, that we would be found faithful in our day, in our time, in our circumstance, in our family, among our friends. Who's the most difficult person in your life? God's got you there to make a difference for them. Who's the person that you work with that's the hardest to be around? God's got you there in His sovereign plan to make a difference for them. Who's that person that you teach teachers that it seems like they don't have a lot of friends or a lot of teachers in the room? We have close to 50 teachers connected to our church. And so who's that student that you know just needs extra love in Jesus more than others? God's got you right where He wants you. They're in your class for a reason. On and on we could go. The point is this. Joseph teaches us that God is sovereign. He hasn't made a mistake. So you are the you He's called you to be. So will you live the life He's called you to live? Will you do the things He's called you to do? Serve the way He's called you to serve and make a difference to those around you? So I invite you today to consider doing that. Maybe you've been praying for someone for a long time, maybe years, for God to do a great work in them. Listen, God knew that you're what they needed. So keep praying. Maybe come and get on your knees and pray for them, for God to do a miracle work in them. Keep praying bold prayers for them. Not complex prayers, just keep it simple. Keep praying bold prayers for them. Maybe for you, you've got a coworker that's a struggle, and maybe for the first time today you realize that they're not your thorn in your flesh, they're your ministry field. They're the very reason you're in the job you're in. That's why God put you there. And so maybe for today you want to come and just pray and ask God to give you a way to be an influence among them and to make a difference. You too, to save Israel. Maybe for you though, you realize that you're not in the spot you want to be. You want to be down the road to the new place, but right now you're in the desert, or worse, the pit, or worse, the prison. I don't know. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a circumstance issue, financial issue, family. Whatever the case may be, I will join you in praying that God changes your circumstance. But I will also encourage you to join me in praying that right now in this step, He uses you in power to be an influence for others around you. So maybe you want to come and pray. Would you bow with me? With our heads bowed for just a moment. Maybe today you realize it's time to respond. You see how God used Joseph and you want Him to use you as well. So as we sing, I've decided to follow Jesus. I want to ask you to make that decision to come and pray about one of these things. Someone will pray with you. Maybe you want to pray with me. I'd love to pray with you. So come, I'll be glad to pray with you. Maybe God's calling you to publicly profess Jesus as Lord. Maybe you've given your life to Him and you want to make that public. Maybe you want to follow through with believer's baptism, so you want to announce that. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our church. Listen, we're having the Next Steps lunch today, but don't think you got to go to that lunch to join the church. If God's calling you and your family to be here, to serve, to fulfill His divine purpose as part of our faith family, come. Come today. We'd love to have you. Whatever God is saying to you today, would you respond to Him? Father God, if you let one of us in this room live to be 110, what a blessing that would be. But God, if you only give us one more day, if you only give us one more month, if you only give us one more year, God, may we be found faithful to save Israel. May we be found faithful in that symbolic way to make a difference to those around us, to see people come to know you and your kingdom and what you're up to and what you're doing. May we make a difference among those around us who are hurting, among those around us who are hopeless, among those around us who do not know who you are. And God, may it not be on our watch that the next generation could possibly be raised up that doesn't know you. God, please move among us as you would desire now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.